Blog Talk Radio. Alafia, divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You are now listening live to the Divine Prince and Baba Ifa Sikan for Ifa Wednesday here on the Power Lunch on Blog Talk Radio. Our live listening and caller number is area code 347-215-8967. 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We will be more than happy to assist you. Ishu alekwana kosi weri awo onbo utoni iwo ala afan bo osi obatala mi itani ibo onilio aban ishu. Ishu is the respected elder who flogs, confronts, and uncovers fools. That one versed in mystery uses truth to own you. He causes scattered to feed poverty. Obatala shakes rascals to have sacrifice. The owner of warnings is the one who is Ishu. You are now listening live and always in archive at your leisure and convenience to the Divine Prince, House of Divine Prince, Type Potions and Hoodoo Central, here on Blog Talk Radio. My live listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. We will be taking your questions, comments, and requests, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic, from Pan-African Hoodoo World Spiritualist perspective. Understanding that all is truly and indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, for it's all just an illusion and a test, one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding and my teaching, my walk and my work along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. And it is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding. The place from where I begin and the place from where I realize and crystallize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is, Ashe. Today is Ifa Wednesday, and we are emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally, from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, and of course the Ile of Awo Ifa Sikin, remotely here on Blog Talk Radio. We give homage to our ancestors, our Egungs and Egungungs, and all those who came before and laid the foundation upon which we now stand. We are humbled and honored by your continued support and appreciation of this show here each and every day at high noon, but even more so on Wednesdays, for Ifa Wednesdays. And we invite you to be an active participant in the conversation. We know you have questions. We know you have comments. We both get them in our emails. We see you. We know you're watching. We know you're listening. So this is a golden opportunity, if you will, to get what you need in a result-oriented fashion here on Ifa Wednesday. Baba Ifa, can I now open in your mic? I'm going to allow you to give some greetings and lay a foundation as we move forward in this first week by Wednesday of 2013.
Thank you, Prince Ty. Well, first, I want to give thanks to Olodumare and to Ifa, to Eshu, to Olorisha, Olorumale, and I want to give thanks to my ancestors and the ancestors of all of us. Give thanks to my Oluo, Baba Ifasholo and Ifade, who lives in Oshogbo, Osun State, Nigeria. And I want to give thanks to his father, the Araba of Ede. And I want to give thanks to everyone in my spiritual lineage, my spiritual community in Oshogbo, Nigeria. As we enter this new year, I especially remember all of them fondly because they really did a lot to set me on my course of what I am supposed to be doing in life, which is the work of Ifa for the benefit of others. Of course, I also want to give thanks to my biological family, my bloodline lineage, my mother, my father. Give thanks to my brother. I give thanks also to my children and to my wife, or I should say wives, being that I have an ex-wife and a present wife. One is the mother of my children, and one is the supporter of what I do, and I am very thankful for them. This is our first show for the calendar year of 2013, first Ifa Wednesday show. And throughout the world, various Ilays, the temples, are having their Ifa divination for the year. Some people look at that and see if, they look at it as though one temple is going to have like the ultimate or the final say in the Odu that comes out for the year. And I want to say, and this is even for the people who are members of Osebile Temple, that there is no Ifa divination coming out from anywhere that takes precedence over a personal divination, one done specifically for you. So this is the time that if you have not done it already, you need to get in touch with your Baba Laos, your Baba Lorishas, and Yanifas, and Yalorishas, and get your divination done for this year to make sure that you are personally on the right track and do whatever it is that you need to do in order to make sure that you either get in proper alignment with your destiny or stay in proper alignment with your destiny so that you can receive your personal blessings in life. You know, as I said, there are temples all over the world who either have done or are doing now their annual divination for the year. And this pertains pretty much to just those temples and their members and associates. Just like what I do for Osebile Temple is for our temple and our associates. Now, anybody, of course, who chooses to participate in the Eba, they will also be included. And by doing the Evo for this reading, you really include your own blessings in that. This year for Sebile Temple, Ifa revealed Ijeobe, which is the very first of the 256 Odu Ifa, and it is the most senior Odu. It's considered the king of all Odu because it is the first, and also because Ijeobe, while all of the Odu Ifa represent or are the knowledge and wisdom of Olodumare, and they are the embodiment of that knowledge and wisdom, which is Ifa. Ijeobe, more specifically, deals with or represents Olodumare. And we must really understand that nothing that we do, nothing that we have, nothing that exists, not even we ourselves, would really be, would even be here, and even here without the continued presence of Olodumare, nothing here has any value or any purpose. So Ijeobe reminds us that we must turn to Olodumare for support. We must turn to Ifa, which is Olodumare's knowledge and wisdom, for guidance. In this Odu Ifa of Ijeobe, Ifa has some very, very important messages. While this divination was done specifically for Sebile Temple, there are a couple of verses at least in this which apply to everybody worldwide all the time. And one of Ifa's messages here speaks strongly on remembering to go to Olodumare first and foremost, because one of the common problems that I see happening over and over again, and people wonder why things in the long run don't work out when they're doing this, is that people are turning to their primary guardian Orisha for everything, or they're going to their Egungun, their ancestors, for everything. And although we do stand upon the shoulders of our ancestors, and our ancestors support us and protect us and help us, and the Orisha are here to guide and protect us, neither our ancestors nor the Orisha know the beginning and end of all things. And neither of them can really affect permanent changes in our lives. For that, we can only turn to Olodumare and Ifa. Now, on this, Ifa says, in one essay Ifa here, the prestige of the world rivers is not as great as the ocean. The honor of earth's streams is not as great as the sea. Ifa divination was cast for Orishanla Osera Magbo when he would be made Alaba, while Olodumare would be Alashe. There's no Ifa greater than King Ijeobe. Alashe is the one with authority to give Ashe. Ijeobe, you hold kingship among all of them. All of the waters that say Olokun is nothing, all of them will be taken away and dried up. all the rivers that say Olosa is of no significance, they will be taken away and dried up. All the rivers, I didn't say that. All the rivers that will be that say Olosa is of no significance, they will be taken away and dried up. When the decaying grass field becomes completely defaced, it will collect lots of dust. I begged for honor and money from Olosa, the second of all waters, and I see that I ate, yet it was insufficient. I asked for dignity from the head of all waters. Again, I see that I ate, but it was still insufficient. You are not wise. You have no knowledge. Don't you know that it is only by the greatness of Olodumare that satisfaction endures until one's death? Ashe. This verse of Ifa is extremely important. And again, the message is we can't only turn to our primary Orisha and expect the big changes, permanent changes that we need in life. We cannot just turn to our ancestors and expect permanent changes in life. Now, the Orisha, they do have their place, and they we must give them the honor that they deserve, the honor that is due to them, which is why, as it says in this Odu Ifa verse, it says that, or it indicates that the lesser waters must pay homage to the greater waters. The rivers and streams must pay homage to the seas and the ocean. So we know that there's an order to things. The Orisha are greater than we are. We must pay homage to them. However, there is one above them, which is Olodumare, and Olodumare's knowledge and wisdom, which is Ifa. And we must pay our respects and call upon Olodumare and his knowledge and wisdom, which is Ifa, in order to be blessed, in order to get the changes made that we want and need in life. In this verse again, it says that I begged for honor and for money from Olosa, who is the second of all waters, and I see that I ate, yet it was insufficient. So you turn to the Orisha, and this is without going to Olodumare at all, without going to Ifa, which is Olodumare's knowledge and wisdom. Turn to the Orisha to get what it is you need in life. You get something, but it's really not enough. It's not going to be enduring for the rest of your life. It may not even last as long as you need it to in the immediate future. We have to realize that we cannot do this without Olodumare. And again, there is a common mistake of turning to our guardian Orisha or our Egungun for everything. And we're leaving out Olodumare, we're leaving out Ifa. And make no mistake about it, if you leave out Ifa, you are leaving out Olodumare. And even in those times when it is appropriate for us to go to our Orisha, we have to first call upon Oladamari and Ifa for all of our needs and for approval in approaching the Orisha. Because the Orisha cannot be effective at all without Oladamari granting what it is that you're asking for in the first place. Unless Oladamari allows something, it is not going to happen. Unless Oladamari grants that something should be, we won't have it. So again, while the Orisha do have their Ashe, there's no substitute for God and His Word. And there can be no bypassing of Oladamari and Ifa. Brother Ty, would you care to comment or add to that?
Absolutely. First, before I do, I want to remind people why you're on the show.
Okay.
And to sort of give it something people can compare it to. Baba Ifa Sakin is sort of like the bishop, and I'm the evangelist. So he's going to give you traditional Ifa. He's going to give it to you straight. He's going to give it to you uncut and uncorrupted and unmixed. I am a hoodoo obeyer bokur. And just from that perspective, I tend to channel all of the indigenous traditions of Africa that were brought here through the Middle Passage. So I'm going to agree with what he's saying, but I'm going to give it my spin.
Exactly. That's what we
need. I say all the time. You're coming to me for remedies. You're coming to me for a temporary fix. S-P-E-L-L. Suggest temporary. And that's what Baba just said. And in so doing, you're ignoring, and I'm going to use some ugly words, religion. You're ignoring philosophy. You're ignoring tradition. You're ignoring committing to that which you say you believe. Because if we didn't believe it, you wouldn't be coming to me to fix your relationship. You wouldn't be coming to me to help you work your finances out. You wouldn't be going to Baba, you know, to get your head cleansed or to get a reading to get some understanding. But then we get our understanding, and then we return back to our old stuff, our old lifestyle, our old patterns, we, especially in the Western world, where we feel completely autonomous to do what we want to do, even though that's an illusion, and that's not true, by the way. But we think that we can, and we think that we are, and we think that our getting up in the morning and what we decide to eat and drink and what we put on and where we go, and we think we're in complete control of that. And really we're not, but we think we are. But in so doing, we also, especially now, especially in the Western world, continue to want to disengage from God. That's another way of saying Oladamari. You want to disengage from the Creator who made all of this, all of us, all the Orisha, all the powers, all the Lawa, possible. And indeed, in voodoo, let me be clear, we do see Ifa. Now the language changes, the ritual changes, but at the end of the day, you know, when those cards are being thrown, when those shells are being thrown, when those bones are being thrown, they are falling out or putting out a binary code that goes right back to Ifa. There's this dogma over one over the other, and voodoo over Haitian voodoo over New Orleans voodoo and Cuban Ifa and Brazilian Candomblé, and it all comes from the same place. Okay, and we're all related. We're all family. We just have a different, more individualized way of doing things. But I can't disagree with what is being said, but I'm also hearing we got to stop tiptoeing around commitment to religion. And it's really a European, Western oppressor, slave masters concept that you armchair revolutionaries have now been tricked into adopting, and you think it's your own, and you think it's original, and you think it's new, and it's not. You've been hoodwinked. Religion belongs to us. Ozu Damari spoke to us and laid out all these foundations which now feed all the other religious paths. So I cannot disagree with what was said by Ifa Sakin. And it corresponds, something else I want to hit on real quick, understanding true balance and duality. Now, there's a fake and a fraudulent and a twisted concept of balance and duality that's floating around out there in the quote-unquote conscious community. But and it don't match nothing that come out of Africa. Let me be clear. But if you are understanding and operating in true balance and duality from a African-centered perspective, again, as Baba said, there is no conflict. My house did a reading. His house did a reading. Several houses in Nigeria are going to do a reading, and there's no. They're not in war with each other. And if you understand how Odu work, they sort of balance out each other and fit together like a puzzle if you're operating in an understanding. And we threw Obara Meiji. And one of the things that comes strongly more than once is reiterated several times in the Proverbs of Obara Meiji, if he who doesn't know dies, while he who does know lives. The one who knows the truth does not die. The one who does not know will die. And it's said over and over again. They move some of the words around. They say it differently, but it's the exact same thing. He who doesn't know dies. He who does know will live forever, which for me put stressors on what is being said. This is important. It's important enough that it was spoken over and over and over again in the same Odu, every way they could turn it, because they knew that there would come a time, and we're living in that time right now, where we got wordsmiths out there, and you know, we want to change around the spelling, and we want to change around the pronunciation, and we want to fix it over here and fix it over there to make it match our limited understanding of what something is. And Obara Meiji strongly suggests knowing and only speaking when you know. There's another proverb within Osa Meiji which talks about your tongue and being quiet. It is better to be quiet. It's better to be silent than have to clean up your words afterwards, than have to retract, than have to go into detail, than have to explain. Because once it's out there, it's out there. And for me, as a hoodoo practitioner, there is no greater thing than understanding the science and the magic behind the power of your words and what you say. And it's not just what passes your tongue. It starts in the myth, in the mind, in the creative space, because you're already believing. Otherwise, you wouldn't be saying it. You wouldn't be speaking on it. You wouldn't be crystallizing it. You wouldn't be reiterating it. So it's something that's already moving, like I said yesterday, in that realm of materialization, even before we spit it out. Your true belief systems are manifest in your demonstration. So without going back to the Creator, the only force that knows Alpha and Omega, that knows the beginning and the end of all things, that knows every detail, because we're living in a limited interdimensional reality. We can't see everything all the time, and we need to be real about that, be honest about that. Another proverb of this Odu, before I give the mic back to Baba Ifasakin, that I wanted to talk about is, the fly that does not become greedy never dies inside the wine bottle. There's another one in this Odu that says, the fly that flies high up in the air and is not tempted by bait on the low ground does not get caught in the fly trap. Now, a few days ago, I tweeted a post, and I said, some are playing to your higher nature, some are playing to your lower nature. But ultimately, we have to make the choice of where we're going to operate, where we're going to rule from, where we're going to cipher from. So it's critical that, you know, we recognize all these adjectives that were used for this time period, the Mayan prophecy, the end of the world, you know, everything is going to change, everything is going to transform. That is absolutely true if you understand perspective. So what we say, what we believe, who we truly are, and what we're truly standing on, we're going to be forced to that moving forward. No matter what the decision is on the economy, on the budget, in the Congress, in the Senate, in the House, we are going to be forced to stand on our words moving forward. And we're going to have to depend on each other. Those who truly believe and understand from where we believe and understand for survival. And that's another reason why it's so important that not only Baba be on the show, but that we continue to build ministry and to share ministry actively at the grassroots level, on the ground. Bob Biden already told you he's about to get on the plane, he's about to travel, and he's going to come out to us where we are. And we got to support him in the doing. Otherwise, things will stay as they are for some, or the illusion of staying as they are for some, until they wither away. There's a little bit more in that Odu, and I'm going to get back to it in a minute, but I'm going to allow Baba to move forward, and then I'll come back to it again later in the show.
I see. Thanks for that input on Obata Meji, and if people really need to pay attention to the messages that are coming out now from whatever Elay temple you're part of, whatever spiritual group you're participating in, as all of these readings, all of these divinations actually rely on one source, which of course is the Creator. In every Odu that comes out from every temple, from every house of Vudu or Bodun or Bear, whatever comes out, we're going to see messages that will lead us to the same place. We're going to see messages that are going to tell us that, hey, number one, we need to get serious about what we're doing. We need to commit to what we believe in. And we need to not try and bypass or ignore the ultimate power, the ultimate source, which is Olodumare, God, Olorun, Yahweh, Elohim, whatever title or name you call the Creator by, we cannot bypass the Supreme Being. I want to get back to Etiope, which was revealed in the Ifa divination for Osebile Temple. And now we did see Etiope in a recent year, which was 2011. And although, you know, this is a new time, so not all the verses are going to apply from 2011 to this year of 2013. However, there were some verses, or I should say there are some verses that proved relevant for 2011, which are equally relevant, or even more so, in this year. And again, as I started out in the beginning of my part of the presentation in this show, I started out talking about things that apply not only to the members of Osebile Temple, but to everyone everywhere. And this verse that I'm about to give you is one that also applies to everyone everywhere. And it talks about the importance of, to use a common Christian phrase, living in the Word. Now, for us in Ifa, living in the Word is to live in Ifa, which we know, again, as I know I've said it again and again in this show so far, Ifa is the embodiment of the knowledge and wisdom of Olodumare. It is a full representation of all of his messages for us so that we can live a decent life here. This verse is something that I refer to often because of its great significance and also great simplicity for us here on earth and for making our lives more important, making us as human beings even more important. Rumala says it is accomplished bit by bit. I say it is bit by bit that we eat the head of the rat. It is bit by bit that we eat the head of the fish. One who comes from the sea to accept the head of the cow is not insignificant in the town of Ife when he enters the world. We are not as big as the elephant. We are not as stout as the buffalo. The sash worn with undergarments is not like the sash worn on the outer clothing. No king is like the Oni. No rope is like the rope of Yemi Deregbe. Yemi Deregbe is what we call Orokun. Orumala says we must measure at the breadth and we must measure at the width. The hand reaches far above the head. Sprouting palm fronds reach higher than the older palm fronds. No forest is so dense enough to conceal the Oroko tree. And no music is so loud that it stifles the sound of the gong. Mine is important. Mine is to be seen, is the cry of the gray heron. Then who is to be seen above all others? Plainly, the affairs of the palm tree are most prominent. Okan shrub sprouts, and it may reach the road. Yet the affairs of the palm tree are most prominent. Ogan shrub sprouts, and it may also reach the road. Still, the affairs of the palm tree are most prominent. Mine is important. Mine is to be seen, is the cry of the gray heron. Plainly, the affairs of the palm tree are most prominent. No music is so loud that it stifles the sound of the gong. Truly, the affairs of the palm tree are most important. And there's a lot of symbolism in this verse from Ethiopic, and it's truly very, very important. One is the palm tree. The palm tree is the representation of Ifa, as we know the Ikin, the sacred nuts that are used in divination for Ifa. These are palm nuts. They come from the palm tree. The palm tree is a very strong representation of Ifa. And again, the representation of Ifa is also a representation of Olodumare, because that is, again, Olodumare's wisdom and knowledge put forth for us to live well here on earth. Now, the gray heron, the bird in this verse of Ifa, says, mine is important, mine is to be seen. And just reading that, you may wonder, okay, well, what does this bird have to do with anything? And if you look up gray heron, or just heron, on the internet or in an encyclopedia, you'll usually see pictures of the gray heron flying over the water or walking along the banks of a river, because they eat fish. So we usually see them by the water. However, they don't live in the water. The home of the gray heron is generally up in the top of the palm trees. Now think about that. The palm tree represents Ifa. The gray heron lives high in the palm tree. So therefore, the gray heron can say, okay, my things are important. My life is important. I'm important. You need to see me. You need to recognize me. We as human beings need to make our life, make our home in Ifa. Now, you may not call it Ifa in your specific system of belief, but what it boils down to is the word of our Creator, the knowledge and wisdom of Olodumare. We need to live in that. That needs to be our home. That needs to be our base, so that we and our affairs, our things, are significant, so that we are important in life and in this world. Ifa must be our home. Ifa must be our base. And that is what makes us important. Now, in this verse it says that clearly the affairs of the palm tree are most prominent, most important. When you think about the palm tree, one, it's a very tall growing tree, so you can usually see it over all other trees. And the palm tree is a very durable tree. It withstands hurricanes. Other trees can topple over and break. The palm tree, although it is extremely strong, it bends. So it is far less likely to be uprooted in a storm. It has an extremely strong foundation, so it doesn't get uprooted easily. And that is what Ifa is for us. Ifa gives us strong roots. so that we don't get torn up out of our foundation easily. Ifah gives us strength, but also gives us flexibility so that we bend in the storm. We bend in the hard times so that the hard times don't break us. And when the hard times are over, we stand straight and tall. We're on top. We're on top like the green heron who lives in the top of the great palm trees. This verse also says that Okan and Ogan shrubs, they sprout and they spread far and wide. They can reach from the forest out to the road. But still, the palm tree is more significant. The affairs of the palm tree are more prominent and important. Why is that? Because the palm tree, as it stands tall, you can see it for miles and miles. A shrub, although it spreads far and wide, it stays low. You can't see it from a distance. It may reach from the forest out to the road, but from miles away, you can never see these shrubs. These are the things that are outside of Ifah. If we have, let's say, some new cult that catches on, spreads like wildfire, and people are flocking to it because it's something new, feels like something great to them. This may spread far and wide. But when you step back and when you're miles away, you don't see it. Ifah is visible from miles away. The palm tree is visible from miles away. I mean, let's look back. I mean, I hate to pick on any specific religion or system of belief, but let's look back on, let's say, the ministry of Reverend Sun Myung-moon. He had a group which was, it was a worldwide group, which was commonly known as the Moonies. That wasn't how they referred to themselves, but in the news and in gossip, you would hear them referred to as the Moonies. That was something that caught on like wildfire. It spread wide. The ministry of Reverend Sun Myung-moon was all over the world. But where is that now? Ifah is still standing. Ifah is still strong. And even stronger. The winds of hard times have come and gone. More winds of hard times will come and go. If you are strong with Ifah, if you are strong with the word of the Creator, if you are strong in your beliefs with the knowledge and wisdom that comes from Olodumare, you'll stand strong. And we are still visible today. And we will remain visible because of where we live. We live in Ifah. Now, if you are an Ifah Orisha devotee or a follower or believer in any other African traditional religion, any Afro-Cuban based system of belief and practice, any practices coming out of areas like Gullah Geechee Nation. All these things that are based on West African tradition. If you are a part of that, if you consider yourself a part of that, and you have failed to make sure that you are living in the word of Oludamare, the knowledge and wisdom of Oludamare, which is Ifa. And again, I want to remind you, as Prince Ty mentioned, even with all the other systems that he is involved with, their source is Ifa. Their source is the knowledge and wisdom of Oludamare. I don't care what you call it. There are different names, there are different spellings, there are so many different variations. It doesn't matter what you call it. I call it Ifa. And it is the knowledge and wisdom of Oludamare, which we cannot live well without. And we cannot claim that any of us or anything we have or anything pertaining to us is important without having that foundation in the knowledge and wisdom of our Creator. Ashe. Prince Ty, would you care to
Ashe. Obar Meiji is the sign in which the natural diviner is born. But without proper guidance, the natural diviner will miss their calling. This also offers of habitual separation and breaks the communication between God parents and God children. Again, I think speaking to the time where people sort of want to do things on their own, want to sort of do things their own way, often losing their connection to the root, to the foundation. While in its mother's womb, before being born on earth among mortals, Obar Meiji revealed important dangers and truths to its earthly parents through dreams. Thus, this Odu gave birth to dreams. Before its existence, one slumbered at night, not bothered by nocturnal visions. Shango and Oshun are said to have issues with each other in this pattern. For once, Oshun was rich, but Shango bought her to ruin. And because of him, her fortune was squandered. In this Odu, children of Oshun must be careful that Shango's children do not do this to them. And I think this speaks strongly to our attitude about not only money, not only material things, but our job and our structure in terms of the government. Again, I keep going back to the debate over the economy and what's going on with the budget and all that stuff at the governmental level. But it's a sign of a greater, more systemic problem, but also a greater, more deeply rooted spiritual problem within the very nature of our system, our capitalist system, and how we view what success is, how we view what value is. And we often don't place value where it should be, substituting false things, fake things, food things, addictive things, material things, gambling things, in place of that, and then squandering way more resources than that which we think that we need, that we are desirous of. This Odu talks about not being greedy, being conservative. We're being forced to be conservative. Whether you accept it or not, whether you see it or not, it's already on us, and we're going to have to take a different attitude about our health. We have to take a different attitude about how we live simply because no one has the resources to pay for any of this stuff. So you've got to start doing things to sort of prepare yourself, to protect yourself from known evils, obvious evils that we just sort of ignore and tip around on a daily basis in this culture and in this society. This Odu also gave birth to the rabbit digging at the earth, and also the custom of the first drum given to Egu. And as you know, drumming and honoring Egun and the ancestors in Chicago Square and at home in my own temple is a major foundation for my success, but also for how I live and how I continue to mobilize and to move forward under the direction of Ola Zamare. But ultimately, it is our action. It is our practice. It is what we do, not only in our knowing Ifa, our knowing Odu, and knowing the proverbs and the prohibitions and understanding the word, if you will, but we got to actualize it. We got to put it into play in every level of our existence, not just on Sunday, not just at home, not just when you're in the Ile space, not just when you're around, you know, your clique, if you will, your family within these traditions, but it's got to begin to enter into every aspect of what we do and how we think and how we operate on this, not just in our lives, in our house, but in this country and on this planet. Obara Meiji is a sign in which the Igbado people headed to the Congolese kingdom searching for the secrets of black magic and witchcraft. While the history of their journey is obscure, we do know that they never found what they were looking for, and they destroyed themselves in the conquest for ultimate power. And if this energy is prevalent, not just in ATR, you psychics got it. You know, the hoodoos got it. Everybody want what they want, and they want it now, and you're willing to sell out your soul, your children, your family, your generation, your livelihood for what Baba Ifa Sakim just told us is temporary. It's seasonal. Will eventually pass. In this sign of our Meiji, Shango defeated the army of Arara and with his own troops. And in Obara Meiji, a treaty of sorts was formed between Shango and Ogun. Shango gave Ogun the dog, and Ogun gave Shango the ram. In this Odu, the Muslim people abandoned the worship of Ifa for that of Allah. Obara Meiji is the head of the earth, and he gives her the mountain for her crown. Obara Meiji is the place where all the roads of Obasala are born. It is where Baba Ode, a road of Baba Luoye, was born. It is where the pyramids of Egypt were built and the funeral rites created for burying pharaohs. For all it brought to the world, we say Mary Sore from Obasala. Obara Meiji. In this sign, there's a lot of power, creative power in this sign. Again, this is a sign that the divine or the natural spiritualist is born under, Obara Meiji. But there's also a lot of responsibility as we move forward. People talking about opening, closing, evolution, transcending to the next level, you know, all the fancy New Age wording that we have used around this time period, 2012 and 2013. But we are now really moving into a time, as I said in previous shows, where our karma will almost magically crystallize instantly because it's something we've already laid down. foundation we've already laid down. But becoming true and becoming authentic in our representation, what we say, what we believe, is going to be at a heightened level as we move forward into 2013. And this is the time, I believe, to be most creative, for us to come together, for us to get beyond our differences, for us to get beyond all the petty things that we use as a distraction for doing what we ultimately say we believe. We're going to be forced to care for each other. Understand me. You're going to be forced to care for our elderly, for our aging parents, and for our handicapped, and for our disabled, because many of these systems are going to be cut off at the government level, or at least greatly curtailed as we move forward. Otherwise, this thing will absolutely spin out of control. The Republicans have that right. What they don't have right is how to go about doing it and impressing upon the most wealthy, the most successful, the most prosperous within our society to share and to give back. And we have a great disconnect with that, because when you start talking about, well, who is the middle class? Well, who is wealthy? Well, who is the successful? You know, people that's making $100,000 say, well, I'm not rich. That ain't me. You know, people that's making $50,000 a year say, well, I'm not rich. That's not me. When the reality is, someone posted it on my Facebook wall earlier today, the majority of the world is living on less than $200 a month. But here we are. We're in the ivory towers. We might not be in an upper room, but we own the plantation. Let's be clear. If you're in the UK, if you're in the States, if you're in the West, we are living way above our means, way above the natural resources of the planet, way above our share. And we're using 10 times our share, producing 100 times the waste, and dumping it on the rest of the world. That's no longer going to fly for any of us, for any of us, for any of the countries that exist now on the planet. All of that now is in a flux as we move forward into 2013. People aren't taking it anymore. People are standing up. People are rising up. And that's not to say that their decisions that they're making are always going to be clear. You know, some of what we're saying right now is purely reactionary to just the stress. You know, you pull a rubber band far enough, it's going to have to pop. It's going to have to break eventually. So we're seeing breaking at every level of society, psychological, emotional. You know, we got this terrorism word. You know, we got people going into their jobs, going into school, going into post offices, just doing stuff. You know, just at the breaking point. But the reality is we're either going to have more of that and have to go lower and lower and lower until we decide to take control of this ship again. And it requires us taking control of ourselves. You know, I threw my microwave out today after years of people telling me I was crazy for not doing so. And it just clicked for me this morning. You know, I heard some crazy stuff on a morning radio show, and it scared me, and I got up and I threw my microwave out. But we've got to start to move beyond our flesh and our carnal desire. Again, one of my favorite proverbs of old Bahar Meiji is the fly that flies high, and it's not tempted by things that are down low on the ground, does not get caught in the fly trap. And if we're truly conscious, if we're truly spiritual, you know, if we're truly religious, you know, whatever that means, you know, you're truly setting your political stance, then we need to really begin to live up to that. If you think it's too much government, pull out. Stop spending. You know, start taking care of your own. Start feeding your family. Start taking care of your relatives and your descendants and those who need without the government. Stop asking for government help. But many of us are getting it somewhere. We're all taking from the great whore at some level, and we're in denial of that. And those of us who are claiming the spirit or claiming consciousness, we have an even greater responsibility to do something about that, to not be a party to that. Otherwise, we're being hypocrites, and we're not being authentic, and we're not being honest about who we are representing ourselves to be. We're going to take just a brief intermission. I am inviting you. We have several people on the phone lines to press the number one on your telephone keypad when you are ready with your question, comment, or request. And we will be forward with more Ifa Wednesday here on Blog Talk Radio with the Divine Prince and Baba Ifa's kin momentarily, remembering that all is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Oguye,
are, Ogunde, are, Ogunde,
awaniye, awaniye,
Ogunde, are, Ogunde,
awaniye, awaniye,
awaniye.
Arere, Awani Leo, Ogu Maribo, Maribo Yeyeye, Ogu Arere O Kalawede, Ogu Susulona, Ogu Bokum Bokum, Bobo Araon Torasia Siabal Ogu Mbeleso Lopumare, Ogu Rele Kumese Ogu, Ana María Mendoza, Ucañengo Milana, Ogu Toyego y Fredo Jaramillo. Padre mío celestial libre nos dijo Ano Araye, Tilla Tilla Eleno Funfun, Aina, Boboso Bunlo. Pa' que nos dé ireo mo, ireo ma, iré de guanto loco, salud, tranquilidad, paz, sentimiento. Padre mío, todas las cosas que usted tenga en el plano de esta arapa, este subo mo, hecho panibu. Y vos, boro caleno, dele la bendición para que usted con su manto cubre de todas las cosas malas que hay en el plano de esta tierra, que nadie se pueda librar, usted se lo quita.
Agua
macheta la cura, la bendición de mi marino papi batá.
Agua ni,
toda la fiesta, caleno.
Agua ni,
y tú caminando de su barrio con su mocha.
Agua ni, Ogunde.
Out of your mind and have you in a straitjacket. so many of us have adopted these false mechanisms to temporarily pacify. And at the extreme end, we say drugs, we say alcohol, you know, we say food, gambling, sex. But the reach is far greater than that. And the response is not always as extreme or even as acknowledged. It's as simple as being in denial of the reality and not wanting to do anything about change. I would really want to hear what you have to say about that. But, you know, I've seen that before, but just now it was posted again, and it really threw me that not only do we believe that, but we've accepted that as the only alternative to what's happening. We're all going to just sit here and just wait for whatever to happen. And I don't think that's healthy, that's spiritual, that's righteous. That's the thing to do. What do you say, Baba?
Oh, boy. Well, first, I had to laugh. This may not pertain to, I doubt this pertains to anybody who is in our audience, anybody who's listening to us, whether it's live or an archive. But if you want to be entertained, this presentation that Prince Ty makes available and that I participate in with him, this is not what you're interested in. Because I am not an entertainer, neither is Prince Ty. And we are not interested in entertaining you. Now, that does not mean we don't care about what you want. The thing is, we do care about what you want in life. We care about what is good for all of you, what is good for all of us in life. So we're not about entertainment. And if anybody wants to say that perhaps what we're doing here is like an exercise in futility because this is what people want, they want to be entertained, you need to go somewhere else because we're not entertainers and we're not interested in entertaining. We are here to help make a better life, not a more entertaining life. If you want entertainment, turn on the TV, watch a movie, you know, go dancing, whatever. This isn't about entertainment. This is about making life in the world better, for real. People tend to, I guess, drown themselves in diversions that really go nowhere. I mean, it's just falsehood. You know, as you say in the beginning of the show, Prince Ty is you know, it's all an illusion, and you need to see beyond the veil.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are running around blindly because they've got this veil over their face and they can't see where they're going. And
Or they bought into the illusion and they now have accepted it as real. You know, you're being a little bit more diplomatic than me. I'm here because I don't have a choice. I have to do what I do. I have to teach what I teach. I have to share what I share. I've tried other lives. I've tried other personalities. It's not my calling.
And once you really know what your call is, that's where the real joy in any situation lies, is knowing what your real purpose is. So for me, you know, no, I'm not here to entertain. If you find the show entertaining, great, but I'm not here to entertain you. That's not the point. That's not the purpose. That's not the bottom line for why either of us do what we do.
Right.
I truly believe spirit to be more real than anything that we know or understand. So for me, this is about your life. It's about your life. It's about my life. Whether you get it or not, it's still about my life. And if we say that self-preservation is number one, I'm not going to do anything to harm my own existence to make you feel comfortable. So I'm going to teach. I'm going to do what I do. You know, some of y'all have been following me since, you know, Hurricane Katrina. And that opens up to another thing I want to say. Someone sent me a message, Baba. Oh, yeah, that came from somebody in our listening audience. Because people get back in distance. And they send me messages on Facebook. They send me messages through instant messenger. They make their little comments. And I appreciate you. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate you. We just want you to come to the table. You know, pick up the phone, press number one, and be a part of the conversation. But, yeah, people are listening. I forgot the point I was trying to make. Someone said something, and I wanted to make a point about that. And I actually got up and walked into another room, so I'm not even at my computer where I can see it. But our lives depend on doing this. That is my belief. I believe so strongly in spirit, in magic, in Ifa, in voodoo, in hoodoo, and its effect on life and reality. Mm-hmm. No, I don't have a choice to do anything else. This is what I have to do. Some of us would not be here living in
Boston. I mean, you know, I've tried other things and even had great success for a while in other things. I mean, I had a wonderful career in IT, doing computer networks. And, you know, the bottom of that fell out. And I've tried other things. Yet all along, Ifa has been telling me, this is what you need to do. You are to be a full-time priest. You're not supposed to go into the workplace anymore. You can't go to the farm. You can't go to the market. You are a Babala. That's all the work that you're supposed to do. Well, guess what? Anything else I try to do fails. But the doors keep opening in Ifa for me to do the things I'm supposed to do. I mean, that's why I'm going on this spiritual mission toward the East Coast. Actually, I'm leaving tomorrow. And you did mention that I'm getting on a plane. I'm not getting on a plane. I'm not that rich. I can't afford to fly everywhere. I'm taking a discount bus service and making a trip up to New Jersey where I'll pick up a car and then I'll be driving everywhere else from there.
Now, Baba, you just uncovered one of my faults. Because I felt that, but for whatever reason, I couldn't say it. So forgive me. Because I wasn't being honest. I wasn't even thinking plain when I said that. But there you go. It just shows you how easily the wrong mindset in this culture, in this society, can creep in and affect everything that we do and think. There's another proverb in that Obar Meiji that says that every man is born honest and will die a liar. Because ultimately we start correcting and politically correcting our conversation and what we say
and we adapt to certain environments and to certain conditions and what the prevailing belief is, or we assume what the belief is, you know, and we end up not being authentic, not being genuine, you know. And for you new readers out there who are listening to me, that's a great challenge you have to overcome to be a five-star reading, to be successful, because Spirit is going to tell you things. I'm sure Baba will tell you that things come through Ifa that the client hasn't even asked about. But you know it. You see it.
Right.
You're there. And we've got to go through great inner lymph just to figure out how we're going to say that to you. You know, how we're going to share that information. So forgive me. When I said fly, I was lying. I was lying, and I was conscious of it in my head. But for whatever reason, we've disparaged the bus in this culture. So let me be clear. I don't fly. I've always traveled on the bus. I wasn't being authentic right there.
There's also something else about being on the ground, taking the bus or driving yourself. When we are on a plane and we fly from one place to another, we bypass all the land. We bypass all the houses and the people, the communities. We don't see any of that. And
yeah.
If we're on a mission of some type, with out there doing spiritual work, we're out there to be in touch with people, I feel we really need to be on the ground, because we need to see these communities, even if we're just passing through. We need to see and touch and experience to some extent what life is like for all the different people across this country, all around the world. All right, now, granted, if I'm on a mission in another country, I'm going to fly, because I don't operate a submarine. I can't get to Africa in my car, and I'm not about to swim across the ocean. And believe it or not, it's much cheaper to fly across the ocean than it is to get a cabin on a boat. Is those transatlantic ships, those big cruise ships, they are expensive. So flying is more economical. So anytime I go to Africa, I'll be on a plane. Anytime I go to some other country that I can't drive to, I'll be on a plane. But if I'm going anywhere in the United States, if I'm going in North America, Central America, I'm driving, because I need to be in touch with people. I need to be in touch with the earth. I need to be in touch with what's going on. And if you're up in the sky, you miss all of that. And I know that from experience, because of when I was deep into my IT career, which was going fine for a while, I was constantly flying. I was flying all over the country every week. And I would fly to really wonderful places, but would not get to experience much, because I'm up in the air, or I'm at the hotel, or at the place of business where I have my work for whatever project I'm working on. And I'm not in touch with anything. For example, I've been to New Orleans twice on business. I only got to experience a little bit of New Orleans because I took the time when I was supposed to be in some seminars. I took it a day or two out of that and just said, okay, I'm in this fantastic city. I need to see something. So I walked around. And I walked around to places where the tourists don't go. You know, I walked to the communities because I wanted to feel and see what was there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that to me made all the difference. I had an experience of New Orleans that most tourists don't get because they're afraid to go outside of the French Quarter.
Mm-hmm. Well, even in the traveling, if you're flying, you don't know anything about Lake Pontchartrain. I mean, part of the experience of New Orleans is driving across the longest bridge in the world, which takes you across Lake Pontchartrain. So you know, when you fly into town, a lot of the tourists don't know anything about it, don't get that, and don't really have that bayou experience that, for me, is crucial to coming in New Orleans.
With the time I took out to do things, I didn't get that. There's still a whole lot I didn't experience because I was out there taking care of business, and it was all about flying in, flying out, you know, flying in, taking care of business, and leaving.
Mm-hmm. And you're reiterating a point we talked about yesterday, too, in terms of being a true, authentic practitioner of these ATR systems. You can't do it without making contact with nature. You can't do it without getting your hands dirty. You can't do it without making physical contact with life itself on a regular basis. And I'm not suggesting that you can't do that in a big city. I'm not suggesting you can't do that up north. But you got to go through real lengths to get the fullness of that experience without going to Nigeria or without coming south or going somewhere where you can connect with nature, with the animals. No one wants to talk about Iwe. No one wants to talk about sacrifice. You know, I just don't understand it. You're not getting the full 100% of religion. And like Baba said, you know, we're placating Orisha. We're seeking the Aguns to assist us, you know, in our little endeavors. And we're having to redo that. Refresh that, repeat that,
yes.
You know, when we're not getting the full 100% by connecting on the ground with these traditions.
Now, one thing about connecting, and I've seen the messages posted all over Facebook in different areas of different areas of the internet, and you hear people say this, and it's the concept of Sankofa, which is to go back to your past in order to prepare for the future. The most important step in moving forward is turning to grasp the traditions of the past. And now, in order to properly grasp the traditions of the past, we have to be in touch with our elders who know more about the past than we do because they were around longer and they heard the stories. Nowadays, you don't have so much of the younger people mixing with the older people so that the older people can tell the stories of the past. But we need more of that. We need to reestablish that. And one way that we are going to reestablish that is simply within our own immediate families is the children maintaining good contact and good rapport with their immediate elders, with their mothers and fathers, with their aunts and uncles. I'm not just talking about small children, you know, toddlers and young children and teenagers. I'm talking about more than that. Because we as adults who still have living parents, we need to make contact with them. Now, granted, some people who have suffered all kinds of things in their childhood and that may have torn apart any decent relationship they could have had with their parents, We, of course, hear about it on the news and may even hear about it with our own neighbors, and we may even know family members that have been through it, where there's some kind of, been some kind of sexual or other physical abuse going on in the home at the hands of a parent or an aunt or uncle or something. And, you know, that's really terrible. And it destroys the possibility of a decent relationship with the elder. But barring that, we need to respect our elders. We need to simply turn to our parents for the things we need. And I'm not just talking about, you know, hey, mom, dad, I need $50 because I'm short on money this week. Or, I need some help. I got to go here and I don't have a car. Can I borrow your car, dad? You know, not that. I'm talking about the more substantial things we need, the things of the heart, the things of the soul. That kind of support, that's what we need from our parents. And we need our parents to pray for us so that we can do well. And the only way that's going to happen is if we give proper respect to our parents. Now, this leads me into another verse of Ejiogbe, which talks about receiving all sorts of great blessings. And the biggest part of the ebb in this is simply to pay respect to your father. It's that simple. Pay respect to your father. Ifa says, greetings, he greets you. He greets you, greetings. Barawo is what Ijesa people use in greetings. Ekumoja moja is how Ketu people greet each other. They who the Ijesa do not greet should not fret. Greeting of Owa is overrated and less than the insignificance of a yam. This is divine Ifa for Onilao when crying because of children. They said he must make Ebo. When he was to have a child, Abi was born as his child. Abi grew every day and matured every night. Then came a time when Abi stepped forward. At the dawn of the day, one will be greeted by his people. Refusal to greet is an act of malice. Divine Ifa for Abi, the child of Onilao, when crying for prosperity, when crying for a wife, when crying for children, when crying for long life as the village leader, they said he must make Ebo. Abi heard and he complied. The dawn of day is upon me. Abi's success is revealed. The dawn of day is upon me. Abi's wealth is revealed. Abi's wife is revealed. Abi's children are revealed. All of Abi's great blessings are revealed. The dawn of a day will never come when the child fails to greet the father. The child will always greet his father every morning. This child who grew up to be a man and have his own needs, Abi, it was his father who went, because he wanted children, went to the Babalawos, and he made the sacrifice so that he could have children. And he prayed for this child to come into existence. So his son meant everything to him. And Abi grew up well. One thing we have to understand about growing up well in the Yoruba culture, if you grow up well, mature well, that is attributable to how you interact with your parents. Abi, obviously, was growing well because he never failed to greet his father in the morning. He never failed to pay respect to his father. And because of that, when Abi grew to be a man and he had his own wants and needs, he made his ebbo and he was rewarded. He received everything he asked for. And this is because he grew up honoring his father. He grew up greeting his father in the morning. And there's more to this particular thing than just greeting your father and paying proper respect to your father. The message here is also that we have all of these blessings waiting for us. In Ejiogbe Foro Sebile Temple, Ifa is telling us all that you need, all that you want is available to you. Olodumare has these blessings in store for you. They're waiting to be delivered to you. All you need to do is the right thing. You need to do your ebbo, and you need to be respectful to your elders. And in this case, especially the Babalawos who did the reading and actually performed the ebbo, and the father who went to the Babalawos for this so that he could have a son in the first place and teach his son right, raise his son properly. That's why his son grew up well. That's why his son developed well and matured into a good young man who followed his father's footsteps in what he did. When his father was in need, when his father was crying and wanted something, he went to the Babalawos. Going to the Babalawos is going to Ifa. Going to Ifa is relying on that solid base of the knowledge and wisdom of Olodumare.
And, you know, I think, too, there's another level to what you're saying. You know, when we say father, we're also saying Obatala. We're also saying Orumila. We're also saying Olodumare. And so, as the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. If we're not honoring the planet, while at the same time honoring the Creator, then we can't honor ourselves, and we can't honor our elderly, and we cannot honor our physical parents. Another part, point that I want to make, too, what you were talking about, the breakdown of the family, and many of the listening audience know my story. I have many reasons, you know, to not have anything to do with my family. You know, my mother has written books about it. My sister has written books about it. But for me, ultimately, to do the will of God, you got to do right by man and woman. And that doesn't mean that me and my dad can communicate a whole lot. You know, and sometimes you got to transfer that energy. You know, you got old people, you got elderly in your community that you all are ignoring. Walking past. You know, one of the joys of my life in this neighborhood is Miss Clark, who's almost 90 years old, who I often walk across the street to her house and open this for her and fix that for her and move this around for her. And yes, my mother is still living. My mother is, you know, an hour or two up the road from me in Mississippi, and I show her a lot of love and respect. But we cannot continue to ignore the symbolism of these entities and this energy as it is around us every day within our community. So we've got to show some respect and some honor to our elderly. We've got to show some respect and some honor to our children. and the children of our neighborhood. You know, these children should not be able to walk through their neighborhoods and disappear with all of us standing around and not knowing who they are, not knowing what their name is, not knowing what time they're supposed to be in school, or what time their parents are, should be home or not home, so that we can do the work of village, true village. So we cannot operate in these religions in isolation. You can't do Isa in isolation. Can't do Santeria, Lakomi, Palo, Voodoo, Hoodoo in isolation. And we cannot be village in isolation. It's something you have got to physically do and be a part
right.
of and connect with. So we're embracing you to come to New Orleans. And we're going to do big things when you come here. So bring all your implements with you.
My plan is to be there in mid to late spring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So count on that. I know I will make it there this year. Most likely in the first half of the year. But my plan is to be there by mid to late spring. And I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to, the kickoff of this tour doing spiritual work in various areas of the United States by going on this trip, which, again, I leave tomorrow evening on the bus. And we want to make some stops in some very important places. One of the places that I'm going to just going to go and pray for a couple of hours is to Newtown, Connecticut, at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Some people may wonder, why do you feel a need to go there? Everybody's already been there praying, people coming from all over the country and all over the world. What do you need to go there for? And I've actually had that question posed to me. The thing is, I personally need to connect. And I mentioned it before, you need to connect with people, you need to connect with the earth, you need to connect with the community. I need to connect to go over there and pray for the spirits of those who were gunned down in that tragedy, and also not only for them, but to pray for the surviving community and family members and school staff and all, so that they can rebuild their lives, because their lives have been shattered by what has gone on there. So I am going there to pray for that, to pray for them, pray with them, because I know if you look on the news, there have been people out there from within the community and from outside every day coming there to pray. I need to connect with them. And I am inviting anybody else who wishes to come out there for that purpose, come on out. I'm not talking about just people of Ifa faith or African traditional religion. Doesn't matter what your faith is, human lives were cut down and human lives were torn apart. And as humans, we need to get together and help. The power of prayer helps. The power of prayer works. And that's why I'm inviting anybody who can to come out there and join me. I will be there probably around 4 p.m. on January 16th. Then another stop I'm making is the next day, January 17th, and that will be at 6:30 p.m. I'm going to be in Rockaway Beach, New York. I happen to grow up over there. That's my old hometown, so the devastation that they suffered in Superstorm Sandy hit me personally. I don't have any family still out there, but I do have people I grew up with. So some old friends are still out there, and they are still suffering the effects of Sandy. There are still parts of Rockaway that don't have electricity. There are still parts that the homes are totally inhabitable. There's still lots of devastation, lots of damage out there. It's been said before that Rockaway for New York is like the Ninth Ward of New Orleans. It's the place where everybody forgot. It's at the bottom of the list. And this is my hometown. I'm going out there to pray. I'm going to be on the beach at Beach 84th Street at 6:30 p.m. on January 17th. I invite everybody of every faith to come out there. I'm going to be out there for an hour. It's going to be cold. I think people need to be ready for that because it's going to be on the beach at 6:30 p.m. in the winter, January 17th. I'm going to pray out there for about an hour. And I'm also going to go around the community there and just meet people, pray with them, and pray that Olodumare breathes new life into that community. For the Ifa Orisha devotees who may be interested in attending, I want to mention that that particular day, the 17th, is the traditional day of Olokun, which is another reason why I chose that specific day to go out on the beach in front of the ocean and pray for these people. And Olokun is an Orisha of wealth, prosperity, and that is one thing that is greatly needed for that community in order for them to recover. I'll be making other stops, working on plans for Philadelphia, Baltimore, Maryland, hopefully. I know I'll be in Washington, D.C., where we are, this will be the kickoff of a new temple for Sebile in the Washington, D.C. area. And I'll also hit North and South Carolina. I don't have any definite plans for Virginia, but if anybody is interested in having anything going on in Virginia while I'm in my travels, please do contact me on Facebook. The contact should be on the link for this show, and you can leave a message for me there. I'll be hitting the Carolinas and then finally back to Georgia in at the end of the second week, in at the end of the first week in February. The purpose of this whole trip, as I said, is to really go on a spiritual mission to pray with people to do Ifa work in different communities, to touch base and really connect with people and communities. That's what's needed. We need communities to come together. If I can somehow help to bring this about, I am very happy to do so. Ashe.
Yes, thanks. And that's a great segue into another question that we got from Facebook. I did find Ahmed's Success Hotel question. And she was basically saying that she was reading The Altar of My Soul, The Living Traditions of Santeria by Vega. And she was interested in how in the book she shares how she met and got to know her Madrina and her godparents within the tradition. And she wanted me to share, you know, some of that about how you and I. And I want to take the time before we run out of a minute to say that I met Baba Ifa Sakin online. We've never met in person during the year of Hurricane Katrina. And
yep.
I think it's a great testament to how wasteful we are of this technology. Many of you got 5,000 friends, 2,000 friends, and you don't know any of them. You don't pick up the phone and call. You don't try and make inroads. And I think one of the dangers of the Internet, and, you know, I'm not anti-Internet. I pay most of my bills online. But the danger of the Internet is that many of you have forgotten how to socialize. And I don't mean you, beloved. I'm speaking to everybody right now because I see you in Facebook chat. But I'm speaking to everybody. You don't know how to socialize. And that's why you're meeting people online for dating or for friendship or for whatever. And we're wasting away these connections. Baba Ifas Akin and I built a friendship on a disagreement. Okay? We both had different views on the topic, and we respected the other enough to get to know the person and not make that the basis for our experience with each other. And we soon found out that we had other things that we could agree upon that have built a solid connection. Mama Yeye, I met Mama Yeye through one of my guides. Children, the one of my priestess in my temple, who you've seen in many pictures with me in St. Louis Cemetery Number One, and so on, Thea, and she introduced me to Mama Yeye. So that not only answers your question, beloved, but it also goes to many others who have a question about how do I get into these religions authentically. You got to get up out of your chair. Or at least pick up your phone and make some inroads. You know, but right before the show, Bob and I were talking about, you know, we got some weird feelings about all of y'all listening and not calling in and not participating and not being a part of the interaction. It's something kind of odd about that. We appreciate you. You know, I'm not trying to run off anybody, but if you're going to ever get the fulfillment of Ifa, the fulfillment of Voodoo, you got to come out. And there are many people on Facebook all over the country, I dare say over the world, who have come here to New Orleans to see me, okay? So I'm not just some personality on Facebook. I am the Divine Prince Ty Mecca on the ground in City Hall. I have a certificate from City Hall, from the mayor, from the Senate, in my state, for what I do. So we can all connect. There's no excuse that you can't build a relationship with an authentic, trained Babalawo like Baba Ifa Sakin if you can hear us right now, because you already got access to him. Now, some of you are not making access because you already know you're full of stuff. You know we're not going to have patience for that. Okay? But at some point, put down the stuff and let us help you. Let us get us moving. And we should have a community that we can rely on without all of us living in the same city, but that we can rely on for support. Real support. We're in recording. We're in the archive now, Baba, but I'm going to allow you to speak. And we still have callers. So we're going to keep it rolling.
Yeah. The idea of community, the idea of connecting, that is also a major message in Ijeogbe. I'm not going to go into any specific verses of that in Ijeogbe right now. Because actually, those verses don't really pertain to Osebile Temple at this time. I mean, because Osebile Temple right now is made on the effort of people trying to do things the right way, people trying to make a stronghold in Ifa, to make Ifa their base, to make it their home, and people trying to work together. So, I mean, we have that sense already. which is why those specific verses don't apply for Osebile Temple in Etiope for this year. But that concept, I mean, it's something that we hold dear, and it's something that is important to Ifa, and is important for all people. And that is that Etiope says that, you know, Ifa doesn't support the individual who's trying to be the loner. If you're trying to go it alone without connecting with others, Ifa doesn't support that. Ifa supports the building of alliances, communities, nations. This is what Ifa supports. Ifa supports two or more people getting together. Ifa says, I no longer support one. It's two that I support. That doesn't limit it to two, but it means at least two people get together. Ifa supports that. It means connect. Build bridges that bring people together. Don't tear them apart. It means,
and it's not the indigenous way of viewing village.
Right.
I said earlier in the show, we got a lot of stuff on us that's purely from the oppressor. And we're so confused about it, we think it's somehow revolutionary. We think it's somehow new. We think it's somehow radical, and we're doing something different. And, and you're really playing into what you've been taught from the oppressor. Baba, we have a caller on the line with a hand raised. Area code 267. 267,
yes.
Who's calling and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Philadelphia. My name is Brother Henry.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings to you.
Did you have a question or comment?
I'm sorry?
No, I was going to say go ahead with your question or comment.
Oh, okay. I have a question. I have been, and this is more to do with myself personally, and I want to say, I have been going through a series of negative experiences for a while, and I've been working on this spiritually with one of my Babalao, but for some reason I haven't gotten any kind of remedy over the years. We haven't really made any. I'm still kind of like stuck at the same place. We've gone through things like probably from doing spiritual bath to also protection, you know, cleansing, and we've done a whole bunch of things, but it appears as if I'm still experiencing the same thing. My Baba is saying that I should be patient, but at this point, it's almost like applying medication that's not working and wanting to try something else. I just wanted to ask you what you think, and by the way, also needed to ask a question about witchcraft as well. Anybody's familiar with that? Because I'm originally from West Africa.
Yeah.
If I could answer that.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're going to the same Babala and you say this has been for years now,
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
How many years are we talking about?
Going on five.
5 years, and you're still experiencing the same thing, having the same troubles.
Same problem. I have been I've been losing jobs, left and right. You know, I've
all
been
right.
Trying.
Let me ask you something here. Have you been just going to Ifa, asking for a job? Or have
no.
you been going to Ifa to find out what your proper destiny is?
Well,
right, the point here is, all right, we know it's hard for people to keep jobs right now anyway, because there's so many people out of work and available workers are.